Hi, my name's Sean. That giant hand over there, that well cocoa buttered hand, belongs to Chris Ford, aka
TMZ. I never liked wearing cocoa butter at all. I know that's a staple in the black community, but I hate the feeling of cocoa butter.
Chris, I assumed that you got it like free samples in the mail, just if people thought you were black and sent samples. Like, that's a black name. We better send him some cocoa butter. I assume that was
Chris Ford is not a black name.
You're right. It's not. It's pretty white. Or at least super duper nebulous.
My parents went Tamitra Lachelle Ford, Latoya Monique Ford, and then Whitney Nicole Ford. And okay. Me, Christopher Ryan Ford. It's like they're just like, oh, we'll just cut out.
They got gentrified over time. That's what happened. That's not good. I've got a sister named Sharina, and I have never ever heard of a white person with the name Sharina.
Sharina. That's cool.
But when you grow up with a sibling I grew up in an all-white community, Chris. We all know this. And I had a sister named Sharina, so in my head, it's just a name. And then I got to, I don't know, it's like college or something different. And I was like, yeah, my sister Sharina. And they're like, oh, your sister Sharina? I was like, yeah. Like a half-sister or a stepsister? I was like, no. And that's the first time it occurred to me. That's not a very common name. So my parents went, Chris, Randy, Jordan, Sean, and Sharina.
Oh, that's a cool name. One time I was at work when I was early in my career, and someone was trying to think of someone's name, and his coworker of mine was like, yeah, she had a really interesting, like, unique name that I never really heard before. It was, I think, Latoya. And I was like, Latoya? That's a normal name. That's my sister's name. Like,
yeah, to you, it's another name.
Like, you know how many Latoyas I know? Honestly, like, that's not even a made-up name. There's Latoya Jackson, Latoya Lockett, Latoya. There was a bunch of Latoyas. Granted, they're all black, but I knew it was a pretty common name.
Well, yeah. Heather would come back occasionally from the hospital in Topeka, where Topeka is probably more diverse than people would expect. There's a big Hispanic community. Probably higher than average in the state of Kansas, at least black population. But then also there are, I don't know a nice way to say this, some very rustic people in the Topeka surrounding areas. And so Heather would come back when she worked at the hospital, like some very, very unusually rural names, rural white names or rural names. How am I trying to say? Really trashy, Chris. I'm just gonna say it. Super duper trashy names across the spectrum, and it was usually at the hospital, which sounds bad, like a bad coincidence. But I think that's just because the other names don't stand out to you. I don't think there's a correlation there.
Anyway. I saw something about how Game of Thrones characters just sound like a bunch of black people. There's Tyrion. Daenerys, like Theon, like you're telling me Theon. Theon is probably, but
well, and we were just so like we're just talking about basketball before we hopped on, you know, that before we started recording here. All the great names in the world, Chris, and the black people on our team were Chris, Will, Kyle, and Mo. Come on, killing me. I actually don't know Mo's full name, though. Mariba? Mariba?
Yeah.
Remind me, is he Caribbean?
Yes. Grenada, I believe.
Oh, nice. Chris, what have you been up to this week? How you been?
Short thing on me. Night of the Seven Kingdoms is great. Speaking of Game of Thrones, really great show. I think you'll like it, Sean. We talked about it.
But it is on my list. I just finished Twisted Metal, which is not honestly that good, but I am ready to move on to Night of the Seven Kingdoms.
It's a very self-contained show. There's no type of like almighty power or power struggle. No big, huge, like, if we don't defeat this, the world ends, or even city ends thing. It's very focused show.
I like how well you know how to, like, hone in on my buttons. I appreciate and respect that. That's Max, too, right? If it's Thrones.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of, it's the funniest Game of Thrones show you would.
Is it not fine. Written by George R.R. Martin? Like, did they finally make a thing?
No. Which is probably why it's good. They stuck to it. So this is like a side story called, I want to say like a Hedge Knight, a story of a Hedge Knight or something. I think that's what the book is called. But George R.R. wrote it. It's just like a story of one knight, an attorney trying to make a name for himself. And what happens after that? Well, not after that. I don't know what happens after that. But there's one episode to go. There's only 6 episodes. They're like 30-minute episodes. And it's the perfect amount of time. Love 30-minute TV shows.
And so I feel like not enough shows are willing to take the risk that you just described right there. It's like, nope, we got a self-contained story that could be a mediocre, expensive movie or a decent TV show. Let's go ahead and break this out into 30-minuters. That's awesome. We do watch a fair bit of the Olympics. I'm not fond of the Winter Olympics. I think I've complained before. It's just cold sports and rich people sports, and I don't really care for either of those things. But my wife likes it a lot, so we do watch a lot of Olympics. So it's slowed down a little bit.
You know, there's a curling club in Kansas City.
I would be willing to bet my bottom dollar that curling club started sometime more recent than 2018, because that's the first time, the first Olympics, where I remember all of a sudden people like going crazy for curling. And now, Chris, in the Summer Olympics, watch, it's going to be handball. That's going to be this one weird thing that all of a sudden there's going to be like rooms at the rec, more rooms dedicated to handball. Just because at the last Olympics, that became like a big thing for some reason. Not the curling doesn't look fun. Just, again, like, anything that's barrier of entry cost is really, really high. I'm out. And cold.
Yeah.
Gross. Bocce ball, right? That's just like curling, but with regular balls. Way cheaper. Is that Jewish, or am I incorrectly associating bocce ball with Jewish? Bocce might be not ethnically tied to any group. Anyway, Chris, you made any progress in Yu-Gi-Oh? Are you still playing?
I'm still playing. I was playing right before. I think my two decks I use. I didn't rebuild a UA deck. I just didn't feel like it. But I have a direct attack deck, and I have just kind of my deck essentially, but with some added stuff to it. I say my deck, the type of deck that I would like to make. There's this card that I like to use in my direct attack deck where it's just like a player has to pay 500 points to play anything from their hand. And I'm like, add some cost to these things, not just playing willy-nilly here. Like, we're shuffling cards pretty much. Gotta pay for that.
That's very, very Chris, very Chris-like. Do you know roughly what point? I know that we get lost at in like show-wise after the first show, but like what point are you in out of the 6 shows?
Oh, I went through. I beat everything. I beat the whole story for everything. I do really want to beat every single person. And then I've gone through and beat every single dual challenge.
Okay.
I think, that was available to me, and now I'm kind of going through and have tried to unlock the ones. So I might try to 100% this. I'm not sure.
How did you beat the story without unlocking everything? Right? If you go play the whole story, doesn't that unlock all the dealer's challenges?
Nah, because then you can go through and like do a reverse match. And so you switch.
I do those as I go. Like I do.
Oh, I don't.
I do the regular match and then I just flip it. Oh, Chris, nah, those I just went through. The reverse is going to piss you off way more. I'm actually not like I'm not surprised. Like, oh, I can't believe Chris beat it. But no, I'm surprised you didn't comment on it. But this makes more sense. Chris, you're going to go back and you're going to play these reverse duels where you're going to play Yugi like 3 or 4 times. And you're going to play Jaden Yuki like 3 or 4 yeah. times. And their decks are trash when you're using them. But when the computer uses them, they get all 3 of their graceful charities in the first hand. Every damn time, Chris. They're just graceful charity, graceful charity, graceful charity. Every time. It's going to piss you off. I'm not going to lie to you. Not that you'll lose more, it's just way more annoying.
There are times I'm like, okay, this should be an easy duel. This should be 8,000-0. And I'm like, why is Joey... Why am I losing to Joey right now? Like, why am I losing to this third-rate duelist with the fifth-rate deck? Or what? Deck.
One of the greatest trash talk lines in TV ever. Chris, the answer is they get their trash cards faster than they should, and yeah. they're trash. No, well, and then you play those same characters more often. So, like, I'm in that second session. I'm almost the end. Just a regular deck. I've got Seal of Orichalcos in there, and then just 5 or 6 tribute monsters, and then just good cards. I don't know how else to put it. Just for fun. But you'll play this Jaden Yuki guy and his elementals like 8 different times over the course. And he just, I don't know, he just always gets the graceful charity, and then he gets this 2,500 one out just like instantly. Every time, and you just like immediately go, oh, I guess my strategy is gone. But it inspired me to put everyone that I had. I haven't spent any dual points yet in the deck shop because I want to save them as much as I can for later until I decide what deck to build. And so I haven't spent any of those yet. But I found every like Mind Control, Snatch Steal, Creature Swap. The ritual, the tribute, like anything where I could take somebody else's monsters and use it to tribute for my own, I did.
Oh yeah,
I loaded up on those and that stupid Jaden and his stupid graceful charities. I only have one.
Yeah, I have three. Charity. I have 3 changes of hearts in my deck.
Change of hearts. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Just, said.
But that's hard. That's hard to get though. Like those other ones, you get naturally first because you gotta. I think they're in the Bakuro booster pack.
Yeah, Soul Exchange might be. Brain Control definitely is. Mm-hmm. Creature Swap. I only have 2. I have 2 Brain Controls, 1 Creature Swap, 1 Change of Heart, 1 Snatch Steal. I already forget which one it is. Soul Exchange, 1 Soul Exchange. So I only have 2 of the Brain Control. But between those, there's like 6 or 7 total, which is enough to get by that stupid protagonist and his stupid heart of his stupid cards. Hate that kid. just saying that out loud the other day, sorry, completely unrelated, just made me laugh. The other day Heather asked me what I was doing, and I was like struggling with a very tiny screw and a very tiny screwdriver screwing in a hard drive, and she could tell I was getting pretty tense and upset, and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, trying to return my damn fabric to the damn essence of the damn universe. Because the good place, it's what Michael says when he's trying to jump through the hoop and disappear. And it's just a thing I've started trying to say when I'm upset and somebody asks me what's wrong or what am I doing. It's my new go-to. But anyway, now that we've talked about racial names and Yu-Gi-Oh! For 15 minutes, hey, Chris.
Remember when we used to title which is probably wasn't good for the... with the algorithm, but you used to title some of the titles like random things and then the episode we would review.
Listen, yeah, I was to say, I don't know if the algorithm and I understand each other very good to this day, but yeah, absolutely. Chris, we're gonna talk today about Korra best line deliveries, which we'll go look at the previous title and see how I titled that, but best line deliveries in Legend of Korra. We did ATLA 2 weeks ago. Last week we did Best Voice Actors. So this week we're on to LOK, Best Line Deliveries. Next week we'll do Best Voice Actors. I'll probably even be wearing this exact same sweater and having this exact amount of facial hair when we do that. But mostly as always, Snake back and forth. You can start first with the odds. I'll start versus the evens. We can do the honorable mentions before or after one. I always forget what we decide. I think we just do them at the end usually, right? We wind up doing them afterwards.
Yeah, we do honorable mentions last.
Okay, yeah, I'll take evens first. You take odds first. And
alrighty.
Yeah, go ahead with your number five.
All right. My number five is Korra, voiced by Jenna Vardy, in her rehabilitation session with Katara. And it's like there was something so so raw in that moment. Like, one thing I think is a great written scene, right? Like, Korra just got injured against fighting Zaheer. She is pretty much paralyzed from the waist down, and she's just frustrated. Like she's working with Katara, and like, this is just a great scene between back and forth between them two. And like, Korra yells and snaps at Katara, and usually when Korra snaps at people, it's like it's not as empathetic, especially in that earlier season. Especially like this is like, she's snapping at Katara. And it's like, nah, you understand what she's going through. And I think Jenna Vardy did such a great job in that moment of just like, and I'm just here, like, stuck with you, and you can't even help me. Like, I don't know, it was just really real and raw. And the voice actors for Katara did well as well.
And what was the actual line there? Because I actually either didn't hear it or I'm confusing it with a different line that I thought about pretty hard. What was the literal line? I don't feel strong anymore?
I mean, honestly, the whole thing is
Korra. Just the whole interaction. Talking. Okay. Yeah, well, there didn't have to be one specific line.
Yeah, let's see. I just remember the thing that stuck at me was her, like, snapping at Katara.
I thought pretty hard about a line that I think comes from that sequence. I don't think I ended up including it, but you can correct me when I get there. That's a very potent sequence and a very good display of Janet Varney's like vulnerability, or how she makes Korra vulnerable. Absolutely. My number five is change is the most powerful force in the world. I'm going to say, this could be not biased, but this could be me like conflating a couple of things, but it's just a phrase that I really like. I think that Janet Varney as Korra, in season four, book four, pardon me, she delivers it in a very believable way, a very meaningful way. It feels like there's just a person talking to you on the other end of a video call, but that really believes in what they're saying, and they're trying to let you know that it's true. And it's, as I said, it's also just a phrase that I kind of believe in and empathize with quite a bit. And
I'll bring up change in my epiphany and stuff at the beginning of our next episode. Has to do with Lord of the Rings. It's not that big of an epiphany, but anyway.
that's really all I had to say about that line is it, I mean, just at its face value, it sounds like a title of a self-help book or something. But yeah, there's something about the way that Janet Varney says it on the other side of the screen that makes it feel like she's just talking right to you. Like you're having an important but meaningful conversation with somebody who cares about you. And it's, just very potently delivered. So that's my number five. My number four, I went from kind of wordy to not wordy at all. My number four is just Kuvira saying, you are weak. Just Kuvira saying, you are weak. And she delivers it. It's so sharp. It's so hurtful. It's a perfect embodiment of who Kuvira is as a villain. I don't know. It's not that you don't already know quite a bit about her. That's just like, what is it, halfway through the season, I think. And I think it's just very telling of exactly, A, the kind of villain that you're getting for the rest of the series, and B, like, oh yeah, I guess this person who has this empathetic cause maybe isn't really all that empathetic, right? We're starting to see some of the empathetic exterior unravel a little bit. And again, just the way that she delivers it, it's almost scary how it's so cold.
Yeah.
So sharp. So I recently
came across a random video of someone being like, yo, I'm rewatching Legend Korra, and like I didn't give Kuvira her flowers enough. Like, she is a menace. Like, she is a villain. Like, she could have, like, she reunited the Earth Kingdom, was like, you know, reunited Earth Kingdom, but strong armed people into doing it. She manipulated all these different ways around it. She, you know, she didn't settle for it. She couldn't went after Zhaofu. She had Republic City. Like, and then they kidnapped her fiance, and like, they were willing to give her everything except Republic City. And like, hey, just but she was like, nah, I want it all.
You take that, like, trash, we just leave us alone.
Honestly, Republic City's GDP is probably more than the Earth Kingdom.
Yeah, it could be the whole, listen, industry hits. No, she also, her non, not that I have huge issues with the mech bending, it's just not my favorite part. Her non-mech bending, yep, like just her metal bending, is in my mind like the best possible way to offensively use metal bending. I love it. I think it's fantastic. As much as I like the steel cables and whips and stuff, like, no, what she's doing is way smarter and way better, and I love it. So good.
Like she, like the way she, that first scene,
yeah, she captured the very first one with the criminals.
Like she, like just hooking them, like, and then like magnetizing them all, that they all just connect and they all like magnetize and stuck with each other.
That's the pinnacle of like precision metal bending, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And not a cut on them, or at least that the animators animated. No, that's great. So yeah, my number four, Kuvira saying you are weak.
Speaking of Kuvira, my number four. I probably could have chose different ones, but this is one that stuck out to me. Varric and Bolin on the train after they decide to betray Kuvira. Like, they're both like, Kuvira's crazy. And then Bolin is Varric makes it to where the train is going to blow up. Then then Batar Jr. is like, why would you make the whole thing is confusing. He makes the train is going to blow up, and then he's like, this train is going to blow up in like 20 seconds or 30 seconds. And then Batar Jr. is like, what are you talking about? He's like, everyone sees him. And then Varric pulls out a trigger, and then Varric is like, I have a trigger. And then Batar Jr. is like, you just told me that it's set to a timer. He's like, well, yeah, at first I thought I'd set it to a timer, but then I thought you might try to tick me. So then I made the trigger for it. And then that whole interchange, that whole interaction is hilarious to me. And, like, the actor, Varric's actor, John Michael Higgins, just delivers it so good. And then Varric's dealing with the betrayal of Julie. He's like, they'll be talking about this in the history books. And they'll tell her names like, hey, you remember that guy who got Julie to so he Varric himself? Like, for a show to like talk about killing yourself because your heart got broke, but in like a PG-17 he varicked himself
in the cutest way possible.
Yeah, that whole interaction is great. There's other Bolin. Those two, just so great together.
Yeah.
Oh, the one scene I just got done watching this episode. That literally before we recorded, watched this episode where they're all on a boat, and Eska is mad at Bolin because he stood her up, and she's after him. And Bolin's like, can your ship? I'll run a crazy waterbending ex-girlfriend. Verga's like, why do you think I had the thing built? It's like, that line is also funny.
What's the one, man? He's got, like, all of his lines are so well delivered. And they're not all, like, they're just not all that impactful, right? But his delivery on all of them is so good. What's the one about being... I'm not a something criminal. I'm a visionary. What does he say? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. But it might have been in Star Season 3? Somewhere around like Season 3?
Yeah, I'm not a blank. I'm a visionary.
Yeah. And then he's talking about his alleged crimes. He's like, allegedly. They're like, you were never tried. It's like, hey, it's not my problem.
It's a super weapon, like a regular weapon, only super.
Yeah,
he's so good. Was that your four?
That's my four. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right, my number three is just to have a complete change of. Oh wait, 3, 2. Dang it, I'm going in the wrong order. Whatever. I will just move a number. Oh yeah, that's way too low anyway.
Last minute shift. Listen, man. We're flexible.
Oh, here. That is why I did that. Okay. 5, 4, 3. Great. Okay. Not a shift. this is like a really small scene, but it freaking hit, and I think the voice actor had one line, and he freaking killed it. Season 3, end of it. Cora battles Zaheer. The battle is over, and Cora is slowly dying, and Cora's dad holds her. He's just like, Cora, like, I'm here. And she just dies in his arms. Gosh, I kind of forget. He says, dang it, what does he say? Oh my gosh. I just remember thinking that moment was just so well acted by that voice actor. He just says, like, oh, I'm here. Like, I'm just here for you. Like, it's so simple. It's a simple line. But I thought he delivered it really good.
It's not coming to me top of mind, but I'll have to look it up. Like, I think we did a nice job in Avatar of, like, we had some lines in there that maybe weren't the most.
We did have more a lot.
Well, but we had some, like, really nice lines. It's like, it's not like a huge super-duper climax point of the show or whatever, but it's just a really well delivered line. And I don't know if I did as good a job in this one with that, so I'll have to watch what you're referencing right here. You said it's in Season 3.
Wait, there's bonus stuff in here? Huh. I was just on Prime looking at, maybe I've seen these before. I must have, because I have the Blu-ray. Huh. They have the bonus. Well, kind of shout out to Prime Video. They have the bonus features on here. Well, maybe it's Paramount that should, because I have Paramount through Prime. Anyway, one second. Let me see what this is. Because I'm curious. Get intro. Wait, just go to the end here. Dang it, can I not? Oh, okay, there we go. Okay, Cora's about to die. Where is the... Oh, no, she survives. Die? You're alive? Okay, right. He says... Dang it, this is a long scene, longer than I thought. Oh, poor sweetheart. Like, that's just, it's me, dad. That's all he says. Or, please hang on. Poor sweetheart. It's me, dad. Please hang on. And then she touches up to him, and then she dies. Oh, and then he cries about it, and then Zahir laughs about it. But, I don't know, it was, I think, while I think we're having a little trouble, at least me having a little trouble remembering some of these lines, that's a testament to the voice acting, because like I feel like a lot of times we boost, or sometimes we often boost line deliveries because the lines themselves are so great. And so some of these lines are pretty simplistic. Like that's not necessarily great. I'm not like, oh, the dialogue there. It's just Cora, sweetheart, I'm here, like, please. Like, that's a pretty, I don't know, it's just a more simple line. Delivery was great.
So I found this list a little harder to put together just because of the overall tone of Cora is just more dramatic across the board, for better or worse, whatever. But I found it more difficult to put together this list because there are every episode maybe has more lines that feel like kind of more intensely delivered than there was in Avatar. So I found it a little harder to choose from, and I think that's kind of what you're referencing. Maybe not. Feels like it. That was your three, right?
Three, yes.
My number three, and I started off thinking that it'd be my number one, and it just not quite. But when I first was like, oh crap, I got to make this list. This is the first line I thought of, and it was, it's Amon at his rally when he says, "I am the solution," and essentially he demonstrates the ability to take Benning away, and I think that's such a cool. First of all, it is a really good delivery. I think you can make a case for it being 3-2-1, whatever, or for not being in the list if you want. But I think it sets a really good tone for what is a very good season of Korra and a very good villain. And B, again, just kind of for the quality of the intensity and the drama that you're going to get throughout Korra. It's so big and so crisp and so impactful and at the first watch. Pretty unexpected, I think. At least I don't think I expected that to happen. And again, just a nice, crisp, cold, cool delivery. And he says, "I am the solution."
This is an adventure for me. That is probably one line that I don't know whether it's because I've cosplayed as Amon at least three times. I'm gonna try and go something different this coming up con, if I have enough time to make a costume. But, and like I said, I don't know if because I've quoted that line a lot of times, at least in my head, but even outside of anything, like, I find myself quoting that line, just, "I am the solution." Like, Steve Bloom, so freaking good. That's a really good pick.
You gonna make a brand new costume, or you got something in mind, or?
I'm thinking of doing a Toph Magneto crossover. It wouldn't be that hard to put together. It's just a matter if I feel like doing it.
Sure.
Like, I got the helmet, and I got to put certain tape on it, because I got a Magneto helmet. And so what I would call the cosplay is, you know, you have Magneto, you have Toph, a.k.a. the Melon Lord. This would be the Magnet Lord. Or I'll be really cheap and maybe go as the Blue Spirit. Because I have a Blue Spirit mask over there that I can easily use.
Be a comfy outfit to wear all day. Just Blue Spirit, black comfy clothes.
Yeah, that is true.
Listen, gotta keep comfort in mind. Chris, my number two. I had, not that I couldn't include both of them, but I just didn't. I don't know why. I could have. Two tens and lines that I really, really like. And I decided to go with, "You didn't lose your way. You found a new one." That is the one I decided to pick. Spoiler alert, the other one that's in my honorable mentions, but could just as easily be anywhere else in the top five, is the one where he's like, if I'm still breathing, I'll
Gosh, I forgot that line.
If I'm still breathing, dang, I'll still fight. What does he say in the night field?
It's like, not as long as I'm... As long as I'm still breathing.
This is in line. What does he say? But they're both... I know it sounds bad, we can't remember, but they're both great lines. As long as I'm breathing, it's not over. That's what he says.
Mm.
And again, great delivery, and it's intense, and it's kind of in a situation that you don't expect Tenzin to be in. I don't even know if I have a good reason, other than that this line that I did pick is more representative of what you're used to seeing with Tenzin, which is just this nurturing, thoughtful guidance guardian of sorts when he's talking to Korra, and you didn't lose your way, you found a new one. It's so reassuring relative to the insane challenges of being the Avatar, the insane, unexpected nonsense, and the ability to adapt therefrom that comes with being the Avatar. And yeah, I don't know, there's just a sincerity and a realness that comes with it that again, and just another time where it feels like that the person on the other side of the screen is talking to you. And I think that's a good feeling. I think that's a sign of good voice acting, personally. So, again, both lines could belong here. Pick either one. They could both rank really high. Whatever. But both great lines. This is the one I picked. The other one's also great. That's my number two.
My son just escaped out of here. He was like, oh, you talking to your friend? I'm like, yeah, I'm recording a podcast. He was like, oh, are you making money? I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I'm making money.
Yeah, kid, time is money, scram.
All right, my number two. Speaking of J.K. Simmons as Tenzin, my number two is... And there's not really a specific line in here that stands out, but it's just the interaction between him and Korra in season one, episode, The Voice in the Night, after Korra has all this bravado, challenging Amon, and Amon ends up just, like, takes her out immediately with him and his Equalus. And, like, he could take her bending away at any moment, and he doesn't. He just knocks her out. And like, but like, you know, like he holds her chin up and she's just scared. And she's not that. She wakes up. She sees Tenzin's running towards her. She thinks it's Aang. So she just saw a flashback of Aang. And Tenzin's just like, did he take your bending away? Like the way he says it, it's like a father being like, did he, like, I don't know if this is their intention, but it was like, did he like violate you? Like in that way. He said it in a way that violate kind of themes from it. And like, and Korra, Jan Varney is just like, she does such a great job of being vulnerable. Like she's, she first says, no, I'm okay. And Tenzin's like, thank goodness. And Korra just collapses, sobbing in Tenzin's arms, just saying like, I was terrified. I felt so helpless. Like, and Tenzin just being there for her, and she just crying, and she's like, you were right, like I was scared this whole time. And Tenzin, gosh, she's just so vulnerable. Like Jane Varney just kills him in that scene. And Tenzin, says something like, admitting your fears is the first step. Like, ah, such great stuff.
Again, that's, what is that, episode 3, 4?
Four, yeah.
Like you're just scratching the surface of Korra and you're already just getting kind of punched in the face with all these feelings. I mean, Avatar, yeah. I don't mean, do you get punched in the face to like episode, well, it's two, never mind.
Yeah, that's
two or
yeah.
Three. When does he see Gyatso? Is that three?
That's three.
Yeah, okay, so three, whatever.
Even still, I don't think that was that big of a punch. I know,
it wasn't to us because we kind of already knew. You know, like even your first time watching.
Yes, that's why. Yes,
you kind of, it's just 100 years.
You know.
Yeah. Nobody knows who you are.
They think it's weird that you can bend air. There's no other ones around.
Yeah. So that's probably what makes that one not hit as hard, but not hit the same way.
Honestly, yeah. That doesn't hit the same way. When does Avatar really turn the tides in terms of like hitting you?
Okay. I don't think this is the right answer, but I'm going to throw out there that when it goes from being Avatar up to that point being in up and down, chill, fun little roller coaster to like something bigger, man, that's when he's got the moon spirit and he's in the finale of season one and he's just.
You think it's wrecking the way that late?
Wrecking shop.
I knew the only other one that it could possibly be, and I'm sure I might be missing something. Someone's probably like, oh, no, this moment. And I knew you wouldn't say this episode because I think I like this episode way more than you do, which is the storm. It's not that the storm hit me as a gut punch, but the storm hit me of like, oh, this is a really like, this is a serious moment. This is a serious show. Specifically like Zuko's story of it.
It's not that it's bad. It just kind of hits me in like a high school drama way. You know, this is a high school kid being a little dramatic about his own. At that point in the show, it's a high school kid being a little dramatic about his own circumstances.
Not that there is something.
It's a little different.
So interesting the difference between these two shows because honestly it was I think harder to make this list, but I think there are certain things about The Legend of Korra that's just more relatable and more I think naturally humanly palpable.
I mean, like, that we're getting into taste preferences here as I was sorting through it, I just. And it's the show type suiting the person, but I just thought it's so much more watered down because it's much more of a drama. Korra is much closer to a drama television show, and so there it felt like every episode had two or three lines. It's like, yeah, it's great, it's well written, it's well delivered. Just there's so much of it that the whole
No, that's good. Point too.
But so that's again, that's going to hit people differently. It certainly hit me differently. I certainly had a harder time because of it. But again, that's not to demean. It was still it's great writing, and there's lots of great voice acting in Korra to carry it, or it wouldn't work at all. Chris, let's go to your number one. That is probably the same as my number one. I think it's the same. Would have come up by now.
My number one is, wish I didn't miss anything. Yeah. It might not be your number one. It's probably not.
Oh.
Maybe it is. Murder Suicide is my number one. When at the end of season one, when Amon / Noatak is talking to Tarlok. It's just such a somber moment. And like Tarlok played by Dee Bradley Baker, who doesn't usually get the chance to voice humans. Just like it's like he just says like Noatak. And then Amon is like, Noatak. Forgot the sound of my name. And he said something before, just like, it'd be just like the good old days.
Yeah.
And then Tarlok says, yes, it'll be just like the good old days. He just unscrews that thing and electrocutes it. One thing that might be getting just wrapped up in the whole moment, but great voice acting by Steve Bloom and Dee Bradley Baker.
We did have different. I didn't put that one. Not that it wasn't really, really well. Once you say yours, but there wasn't.
Once you say yours, I'll probably be like, "Oh yeah, I might have forgot that."
Well, I just thought you would have it in your list somewhere, but I did the let go your earthly tether, enter the void and become wind. It's dramatic, but the way that he says it, the way Zahir says it, you can almost feel his little tether breaking. Like, you feel like he can feel him empty, and it's just calm, right? It's not like super heavily emoted, but he just delivers it in a way that's like, yeah, you can see him sort of emptying the last little bits of his mortal coil onto the ground, and then he takes flight. Like, it just feels so right, and there's so much conviction in there. Chris, the only reason I didn't include your line in the list is just there wasn't a line that just stood out within that moment. You know what I mean? There wasn't a singular. I guess it just like the good old days.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful that scene.
I approached it just from scenes. Although
we did take this kind of, you had a few of those that were just like scene centric, and I pretty much went one liners, which is fine. We usually approach things slightly differently.
Yeah,
I'm just surprised I didn't make your list somewhere, but whichever.
It's great,
Chris. My honorable mentions. As part of my honorable mentions, I just wanted to just point out, I didn't put in a Varric line because there was not a single one. There's not a single line that I thought was heads and shoulders above the rest. He just, everything that John Michael something, forget his name.
Higgins. Not Wiggins, but Higgins.
He, everything he says, it draws your attention. Like, you could be trying to do something else, and when Varric speaks, you have to look at the screen just to see what he's getting into. It is a little cartoonish, but it is what he's supposed to be. He's this ridiculous, mogul who is supposed to eat scenery, and he does, and he has probably 30 lines that are all great. What's the one about women? The only way to deal with crazy women is to lie big and leave fast, or something like that. Just everything he says is ridiculous.
I don't even remember that line. But that's a testament to how much outlandish stuff he said. Like, I can imagine how it would be in the booth recording with him.
You would be hard to be in the booth with him, right? Without, like, keeping a straight face.
Yeah.
So I just put in my honorable mentions, and there's plenty of others, but I just wanted to note that he buys into his role 100%, and that's my biggest honorable mention. My second one I already mentioned with, like, Tenzin. Third one was Korra. I did have Korra mention where she says, but I don't feel strong anymore, which I think is part of that interaction that you mentioned earlier. Not anymore. Right now? I don't feel strong right now, or I don't feel strong anymore. It's in that interaction. And then Zahir has a few other good ones, like, in order for new growth, there has to be destruction of the old. They're a little redundant, but that idea of, like, he says, like, three different ways that's essentially, you know, out with the old and with the new.
So I didn't have Henry Rollins, the voice of, wait, Henry Rollins or Seth Rollins? One of them is a wrestler.
Henry.
Okay. I didn't have him in most of the lines. I think the writing for Zahir, I think I could hear other people. There might be other voice actors, so I think he could deliver those lines. Well, he did a great, amazing job. Job delivering them.
His delivery just isn't like, it's not super uniquely done. It feels replaceable. Yeah. That sounds so bad.
Yeah, and he's almost not supposed to be. But like, Zahir is not the charismatic, like, leader and stuff whose voice is going to stick out of crowd. Like, he's cast perfectly.
Yeah, he is the chaotic neutral in D&D, right? He's not making a show of it. It's, or the show isn't him. The show is the chaos.
Yeah.
Or what is he? Even he even has the line. Man, it's like
his first, the natural his first line
order is disorder, or whatever he says.
Yeah, his first line delivery. Oh my gosh, so the season, like, the season started off episode one. Korra and the team are dealing with airbenders appearing and popping up. That was cool. Cool little first episode. And then it ends with Zaheer just like the line delivery. I can't even think about it, but he says like, oh, one line. Oh, wait, I got to find that line. He says intuition is just a fearful body hoping to be wrong. Like, holy crap. Like, and then he says something else about, like, you know, he quotes Guru Lahima. He's like, I forget what it was. By the end of it, the White Lotus person's like, what is that supposed to mean? He's like, you know, your expectations or something are only based off your reality. Or he drops some type of bar. Like, Zaheer was dropping bars left and right. I probably didn't give him enough credit on my list, but he has some great lines and great line deliveries.
I think you nailed it. I think the writing does more of the legwork than the delivery. And there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
Also, just only until you're done, but I just asked ChatGPT, I was like, hey, give me Varric's 20 best lines. And there's so many that I never, like, I don't even remember. But just, I can hear his voice saying them, even if I can't place them. But anyway, we can get through yours first, and we can do stupid Varric stuff.
One of my favorite lines that I quote is the voice actress for Rava, the end there of, we will be together for all your lifetimes, and we will never give up. Ah, great. Great, great. I also love Vatu's monologue against Juan. Just about how, like, powerful he is. Like, it's just braggadocious and, like, you know, like, to fight me is to give me strength. And it's like, and then with me, you face oblivion. This is everything.
That guy does have a cool voice, too, just naturally.
Yeah. Two Lin lines, and they're both sacrifices, and that's probably why I didn't have them high on my list, because they're just the writing around it. Lin sacrifices herself when Amon captures her. She calls Amon a monster. That whole scene is great. And then just Lin's simple, like, Lin and Su Yin are fighting Pali, the combustion bender, and, like, things are dire because Pali is that freaking OP. And, like, Lin just looks to her sister and just, like, she holds her. She says, I love you, Sue. And she goes through and she fights. Like, great line delivery by Mindy Sterling. All right, those are my honorable mentions.
Just a few of Varric's favorites here. Time is money, and as someone who has a lot of both, I assure you they are equally valuable. If you can't make money during a war, you just flat out can't make money. Genius is 1% inspiration, 98% perspiration, and 2% attention to detail. The public loves romance in explosions and romance during explosions. And one of my favorite, I didn't do it. Well, I did do it, but not in the way they're saying I did it. some great ones. Some great ones in there. Hey, that being said, and hopefully we didn't tease too much, or we teased enough but didn't spoil too much. Next week we'll do best voice actors. So focusing in on the actors themselves. Actors. And we'll do that.
I still haven't finished the Harley show.
I loved season one, and then I liked season two, and then season three. By the time I got there, I was like, I'm kind of over it. But I love Bane in that show. I love the portrayal of poor Bane in that show. But anyway, we'll do voice actors.
Talk about great line deliveries. Tom Hardy's Bane. Gosh, man, love his Bane. Like, I quote his, I was quoting his Bane yesterday. Like, I went downstairs and and I turned, my kids were down here. I turned off the lights. I go,
oh, so you think I'm just a ally, but you barely adopted the duck. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't see light until I was already a man. And by then, there was nothing for me but lightning. And then I do that choke on my kids.
But he's so divisive. Like, I can see why he's divisive, but it's upsetting the number of people that will bash on that movie, which has problems. That movie that has problems. But they will choose that as one of their issues of, like, the silly voice thing. I'm like, no, that's great. I love it. And Tom Hardy, you know, I don't know.
Right, I didn't know that was a... For some reason, I thought maybe a few people, like, didn't like it. And I was talking to...
A ton of people don't like it.
I saw it on one person on Twitter, and he was talking about how Dark Knight Rises is bad. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like Bane's iconic. He was like, yeah, but in a funny way. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, Bane is one of the most menacing villains, and his line deliveries are just straight up A1 all the way through.
I love the movie. It is, all I will say is, it's the least of those three movies. But it is not.
I agree with that.
It is not because of Tom Hardy and what he did. That is not the reason that it is the least of those three movies.
Thing is, those three movies are just the best to me. Even after watching Lord of the Rings, it's the best. The Dark Knight trilogy is the best trilogy of anything. And maybe you'll hear more of my opinions on Lord of the Rings at the beginning of next episode.
Of our next podcast, last of the last ring bearer cast. You know what? I was going somewhere that didn't work out. I'll come back next week. Hey, thanks for watching. This has been Avatar The Last Podcasters. I'm Sean, that's Chris. I'll put stuff down below in the description, like always. If you can leave us a nice positive interaction, Chris's non-cocoa buttered skinny. When you get that close, I can tell you didn't put your cocoa butter on.
No, I don't have a good... I feel like I purposely dry my face out because I love to be in the shower and just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let the steam do the exfoliating and like, melt that out earlier.
I'm like, I know this is drying my... I know this isn't great for my skin just for pure water to be hitting it, but...
But do you have a moisturizing solution at all? I assumed this. I mean, maybe that's racist to me. I assumed that you had to, probably.
Yeah, I got. Honestly, I have like three different ones.
Okay, Chris, I got to
be honest. Every time my mom visits, she's like, she offers to buy another one. But every now and then, my mom would be like, "Oh, your skin is looking really nice." I'm like, "Oh, I'm not doing anything different," but.
I have just a teeny, teeny, tiny bit of eczema. I get it on my hands and my wrists in the winter in particular.
Oh, yeah.
Baby lotion, probably the best moisturizer I've ever used. I have less eczema this year than ever, and I definitely washed my hands more than ever.
Maybe it's the weather, because I feel the same way. I feel like my hands aren't as scaly as they are usually.
Could be.
Although my thigh is really scaly. Like my thigh right now on the side here is just like, why don't I put, and things I don't put lotion on my legs ever.
That feels self-indulgent in a bad way. I'm not doing that.
Lots of good. Lots of good.
No, mine manifests in lots of tiny, very itchy bumps. And then certain places where my skin it'll just break. Like it'll just bust open. But no, I've had less this year and I think it's baby lotion. Cause I wash my hands like, I got a baby. I wash my hands like 20 times a day. It's ridiculous.
Oh, gosh. After every change, or you'll get pink eye.
I've been there, done that. I thought I escaped. Baby had pink eye, which he definitely got from another kid at daycare. I saw that kid at daycare when I was picking him up. As soon as I picked up Cam, I was like, damn it. And then Heather and Baby got it, and I didn't until like 4 days later. Like, I thought I was in the clear. They were both recovering. And then it manifested. It's so stupid.
It's been a couple of years, I think, since my kids have had pink eye. It's so freaking annoying. You have to go to the doctor and they have to prescribe you the thing.
We were able to do telehealth now for pink eye, not for anything else. Like, they wouldn't give us baby.
Yeah.
Also had like an ear infection. But we did. but they wouldn't let us do it together. It was three separate telehealth appointments at $60 a pop for like 2 minutes.
I think I've used telehealth for the same thing because it's like, we all know what it is. I don't need a doctor to tell me what it is. I know what I need for it. Just give me the thing.
Yeah.
And the doctor sees you. Oh, yeah, looks like you got pink eye. Okay.
Yeah. Can you just also give me more doses for my sibling and my wife and son that also have it right now at the same time? No. BS. Leave your positive interactions with us. Thumbs ups, ratings, reviews. We love them all. Comments. They're great. And come back next time and we'll do best voice actors and talk Lord of the Rings. We'll see you next time.